all lost.
You know, the Apostle Paul says to those who are rich, he says, trust not in uncertain riches. there are many men who have achieved great wealth, millions, billions of dollars, and lost it all overnight. And many of them have committed suicide. They couldn't live without it. They couldn't bear to be without it. Uncertain riches. They're not certain. You can't depend upon them. Maybe they're nice enough to have, but you can't depend upon them. They could be taken away in a flash. And so it is with health. So it is with fame. So it is with anything that this world has to provide. And you choose the things that you would most like to have, and then ask yourself, how would I feel if I suddenly lost it? Well, that's pretty much what the first two verses present before us. But then the third verse presents things that we value in terms of our souls and our states of mind. The things that are not tangible, but they are human. And there's nothing wrong with them. And suppose we're able to live a whole long lifetime without losing any of them during our lives. But still, the question is, how about when you come to die? You can't take those things with you. You can't take anything with you. You can't take your health. You can't take your wealth. You can't take your fame. You can't take your comforts. You can't even take your sense of well-being with you. And you will have to die in the normal course of things. And when you do, you leave all those things behind you. For the last verse, to have all in Jesus. All that you want, really, and all that you need, you can have in Him. And you'll never lose it, no matter what happens during your years here upon earth. And you'll never lose it when you die, if you do. You'll take it all with you. Because it's eternal. And it's all in Him. The one who died upon the cross, that you might have it all through faith in Him and His finished work upon the cross. He died for you, that you might have it all. So now, in keeping with some of the thoughts in this hymn, let's turn to Mark's Gospel. None of this is new, and I don't think you'll be at all surprised when we turn to the various scriptures that I have in mind for the Lord's help. Mark chapter 8. Toward the end of the chapter, verse 36, verses that are often read in gospel meetings and for good reasons. We'll read them now. Verse 36. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul. Verse 36 asks, what if you could have everything you wanted in the whole world? It was all yours. But you lost your own soul. What about that? What about that? Because sooner or later, you and I will stand before God. And if I gained the whole world but lost my soul, what would I have? I would have nothing. I would have nothing. Oh, what emptiness. What if I could live without the Savior? What would happen when I die? The next question is, what will you give for your soul? If somebody wanted to buy your soul, if they could, then how much would you ask for it? How much is it worth to you? Can you put a price on it? Is there something you're willing to exchange for it? Is there something you want so bad in this world that you would be willing to exchange your soul for it? The consequences would be eternal, forever. Searching questions, I hope we've all asked them and settled them before God. If we haven't, though, I hope we do now. And I hope that if you don't know the Lord as your Savior, that you won't be able to lay your head down in peace upon your pillow tonight until you've answered these questions. They're vital. They're vital to every man, woman, and child upon the face of the earth. No more important questions. Let's turn to Hebrews. Chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27. It is appointed unto men once to die. The wages of sin is death. And that's why death faces everyone in the normal course of things. I say in the normal course of things because in the normal course of things, men die. It isn't appointed unto all men to die, but it is appointed unto men to die. Believers on the Lord Jesus Christ may die, but believers on the Lord Jesus Christ don't have to die and might not die. Because when the Lord comes to gather those who belong to Him and catch them up to heaven to be with Himself forever, there are going to be many dead believers who will be raised from among the dead and caught up with the living ones. So the living believers at that time won't ever die. But they're the only ones that won't ever die. In the normal course of things, it is appointed unto men once to die. But after this, the judgment. We'll read about a man who died and what came after his death. Let's turn to Luke's Gospel. Chapter 16. We're going to read the whole chapter or even the whole section of it. But we'll start reading at verse 22. There are two men, and I believe this is a real occurrence. There's a lot that's symbolic in the conveyance of this event, but I believe these are two real persons. Two real persons, one a beggar and one a rich man. The beggar feels his need. The rich man doesn't feel his need. He's got everything he wants. But they both die. The one who felt his need was a believer. The one who didn't feel his need wasn't a believer because he didn't feel his need. He's in Hades. They're both, the rich man is said to be in Hades and in torments. Not because he was rich, but because he didn't have faith. The beggar was in a place of blessing. Not because he was a beggar, but because he felt his need and he had faith. So let's read from the verse 22. It came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The Lord is speaking to Jews. This is symbolic. Lazarus was a real man, and he really died. But he didn't go to Abraham's bosom. I believe the Lord is speaking in such a way that he wanted to make it clear to the Jews and their way of thinking that this beggar went to the best place a Jew could think of going, to be with Abraham. But it was a place of blessing. The rich man also died and was buried. The beggar died and was carried. The rich man died and was buried. Not because he was rich, but because he didn't have faith. And in hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. Just a drop of water he wanted. For I am in torments in this flame. It is appointed unto men once to die. But after this, the judgment. This is inexorable. It can't be avoided. If you die in faith, you go to be with the Lord, which is far better. If you die in unbelief, if you refuse the salvation that God offers through the work His Son accomplished upon Calvary's cross for your sins, then it's this. No other way around it. Let's turn over to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 20. We'll we'll start reading with verse 12, verse 4. The Lord is speaking a parable here now. What we read in Luke was not a parable. It had two real men in view, and their circumstances were real circumstances. This is a parable. But the Lord is speaking this parable, and this parable has a point. And he's saying it because he wants you and me to get that point. Again, he sent forth other servants, saying, tell them which are bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all is ready. Come unto the marriage. All things are ready. The work of the Lord Jesus upon Calvary's cross is a finished work. Nothing more needs to be done. Nothing more can be added to it. And nothing can be taken from it. It's a finished work, it's a complete work, and it's a perfect work. A work of redemption. God has been glorified with respect to the Lord Jesus' work upon Calvary's cross in view of sin. He has satisfied, glorified, and vindicated God's holy nature with respect to sin because God didn't overlook one offense against himself. But he poured out all his wrath upon it. And the Lord Jesus died, paid the penalty of sin. The wages of sin are death, and he paid them. He knew what the cost would be before he paid them, and he paid them. And he shed his precious blood in order that those who believe on him might have their sins forever cleansed away, so that not even the eye of God can find one or even a trace of one. They're all gone for those who believe on the Lord Jesus and that finished work of his. So all things are ready. There's nothing more that needs to be done except you must believe. You must put your trust in the Lord Jesus and his work, that it was for you and for your sins. You have to make it personal. You have to make it individual. And God knows how your heart is with that. So all things are ready, except you have to respond. Now let's come on down a little bit. Same chapter, to verse 11. And when the king came in to see the guests, that is the wedding guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. And he saith unto him, friend, how camest thou in hither, not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. He knew he had no place there. He had no excuse. Then said the king to the servants, bind him hand and foot, and take him away and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. weeping because of the torment. Gnashing of teeth, I believe, because even in hell, the sinner's heart against God will not be changed. He won't repent. He won't wish he could be in heaven. He still will hate God as much as he did in his lifetime. But there will be weeping. There will be weeping. Various figures are used in Scripture to describe what a lost eternity is like. Outer darkness is one of them, the blackness of darkness forever. There's no companionship there, no sense that others are present with you. You won't have the sense that your friends are there with you if they are. They might be, but you won't have a sense of it. It's outer darkness. It's also described as flames, like the rich man in hell. He was tormented in these flames. So the Spirit of God uses a number of expressions to describe, as far as it's possible for the human mind to understand, what hell is like. It's terrible. It's awful. It's lonely. There is pain. There is torment. Loneliness. Darkness. No light. Let's go to the book of Revelation. In the book of Revelation, chapter 19, we have another marriage. Let's start reading with verse 7. Revelation chapter 19, verse 7. These words here are being spoken with joy by those who are in heaven. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him that is the Lamb, the Lord Jesus. For the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. For to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. She made herself ready, and she had a wedding garment. For the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. So that's a wedding that is going to be attended by all who have ever accepted the Lord Jesus as Savior, or who have exercised faith toward God. And it's a joyous occasion. God has made all things ready, and she made herself ready by faith. That's what made her ready. That's all. That's all that remained. In Matthew there, everything else was ready. The only thing that remained to be done was to put one's faith in the Lord Jesus and his finished work. And she has done that. So she's made herself ready, and she has a wedding garment. She's arrayed in fine linen, white and clean. Fine linen is the righteousnesses of saints. She is ready. The wedding is on, and the marriage takes place. Further down in the chapter, we read, then the next thing that happens is that the Lord Jesus comes riding out of heaven with all his heavenly saints and angels with him to execute judgment upon the wicked, to deliver his earthly people from their enemies and to set up his kingdom. And those who come with him will reign with him for 1,000 years. As long as the kingdom lasts, and it's going to last 1,000 years. I'd like to go back to Hebrews that I read almost at the beginning of the hour. I'll have to confess to you that I didn't give you the whole verse. I chose to just give you part of it. It is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. But I want now to read the whole verse. As it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. That's the rest of the story, as we might say. That's the happy side. As solemn as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. But Christ has died for the sins of many. Have you acknowledged before God that you're a sinner? Do you accept his judgment against you, his counsel which was against you, that you're a sinner, and that the wages of sin is death, and that you deserve death, and that you deserve judgment? Have you told the Lord Jesus that you want him to come into your heart and save you, to cleanse you from all your sins by his precious blood? Have you asked him to do that? There's nothing more that needs to be done, nothing more that can be done. It's the last stone to put in the building, you might say, and then you're saved. But until you've done that, you're still lost. Just as lost as that rich man was. I can't guarantee you that you could do this tomorrow. In fact, I can't even guarantee that you can wait until you get home to do it. And what's more, you don't have to. You can do it now. Right where you're sitting. God knows your thoughts. God knows your heart. He knows what's passing through your soul right this minute. And if you turn to the Lord Jesus, and you say, oh, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Cleanse me from my sins by your precious blood. Make me right with God. And he says, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. He won't turn you away. Not if you approach him that way. He'll receive you. He'll bless you. He'll cleanse you. And he'll give you to know he's done so. And you can live the rest of your life in joy and peace and fulfillment. But the other opportunity, the other option, is what we've had before us this evening. Where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. That's for eternity. I pray you, take a minute out. Look up by faith and ask the Lord to save you. Say, Lord Jesus, save me from my sins. Wash me in your blood. And he'll not say no. And he'll give you to know that he says, yes, I will. A leper came to him one time and he said, Lord, I know that if you will, you can cleanse me from my sins. And the Lord took a hold of him firmly with his hands and he said, I will. I will. It is my will. I want to. And he cleansed him immediately. You can't be so vile that he'll reject you and turn you away. Him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. Let's just sing together that last verse in the hymn that we sang. The 96, the last verse.